Thank God, with God all things are possible. Amen. Hallelujah. There's hope. Amen. I appreciate that. I was sitting there feeling sorry for myself, and I got to looking through my notes there before the service, and a young fella come by, must have been old, 7 years old, maybe a little younger, and he said, "Are you preaching tonight?" I said, "I don't know, I might." He said, "Well, how long are you going to preach?" I said, "Not long." He said, "Good." I said, "Well, just when you think you got one on your side, amen." Hallelujah to God, amen. Take your Bible tonight, find Hosea chapter number 1. Hosea chapter number 1. Just go to Daniel in the Old Testament. Go right past Daniel. You'll find the book of Hosea. If you can't find Daniel, you probably ought to get saved. Amen. Hosea chapter number 1. I want to read a few verses here from the Word of God. And also chapter number 2. What I believe here tonight is probably one of the strangest stories in the Word of God. Just strange in how God does things. God really meant it when He said His ways are not our ways. Neither are His thoughts our thoughts. Amen. And then He gives us the Word of God to prove it. And certainly proves it here in this book of Hosea, where we find this strange story of how God wants others to see His broken heart. God wants to reveal His heart to this preacher. God lets this preacher go through something in his life so he can feel what God feels and see what God sees and hurt like God hurts. Amen. And so we'll see here in chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 1, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, at the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, "Go, get unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, "Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel." Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to stand here and realize, God, we can do nothing without you. God, it's impossible to preach the Word of God without the unction from God. And I pray you'd help us for a little while, make preaching easy. God, let me lay this burden off of my heart tonight and lay it on the hearts of those that need it. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What a strange happening, amen. What a strange request that God would have His preacher to go and marry a harlot, amen. But that's how God works, amen. God wants this preacher to feel what he feels. Sometimes God allows preachers to experience things in their life in order to feel what God feels, in order to see it like God sees it, so they can preach it like God wants it preached. Amen. That's what He's doing here with this man of God. He's using this preacher, named Hosea, and He tells him, "You go out and you find a streetwalker, and you marry that harlot." And brother, that's what he does. And he gets what he bargained for. Amen. And look with me, please, in chapter number 2. Let's read just a few verses here. The Bible says in verse 1, "Say ye unto your brethren, am I and to your sisters, Ramah? I plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife."
neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Then after we see the story as it unfolds here, God is wanting Hosea to show, he's trying to show this preacher how he feels about the nation of Israel. God wants him to know how Israel has treated God and how he's wooed them and loved them. Isn't it something how you ever felt rejection? Amen. You know what it's like to love somebody that no matter how much you love them and how much you care and how much you do for them, they just don't love you back. Amen. That's the way he feels here. That's the way God's trying to get this preacher to feel what he feels. He's trying to get him to see what he sees and understand what he understands. Amen. And so he marries this harlot. She goes after her lovers. And he goes after and chases her. And the more he chases her, the more she flees from him. And the more he loves her, the more she leaves him. And the more he wants her, the more she puts him away. She's after one thing. She's after the pleasure of sin. She's after the world. She's after what it can bring. Are you listening to me? I'm going to get somewhere. Just stay with me. And she's running from it. Not only is Gomer, that's his wife, not only is Gomer gone, but God says Israel's gone. Just like the prodigal's gone. Just like in many of our lives, here tonight, mama's gone. Our daddy's gone. Our junior's gone. Our sister's gone. Hello? You understand what I'm saying? God wants us to know what does it take to bring them home? Amen. What's it going to take to bring them to that place where they look to Him again? What is it going to take to break them and get them back home where they ought to be? What's it going to take? God said, love them, but that ain't going to fix it. Amen. Hey, nobody loved you like God does. Nobody cared for you like Jesus does. Nobody's after you like God is. Amen. God loved Israel. God cared. And the more He loved them, the more they rejected Him. Amen. That's what's going on here. Not only do we see the love here, but we see the loss. Notice verse. We'll look at verse number 6. He said he's going to give us the remedy. He says, therefore, 3 times in this chapter. 3 times he says, I know the answer. I know how to bring the prodigal home. 3 times he says, here's the answer. I believe I got the answer. Here's what we're going to do. 3 times he says the word, therefore. He's saying, I think I got it figured out. I believe, I want to preach to you for a little while tonight on where to find the door of hope. Amen. Look with me down in verse number 15. The Bible said, and I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Where, preacher? Where do you find the door of hope? When you prayed all you can pray, and you preached all you can preach, and you've done all you can do, and you begged and pleaded with them, and they still won't get right, and they still won't turn from their wickedness, and they still won't give in. Hey, I'm telling you, rebellion is a horrible thing. It'll take a person a very deep into the world. Amen. When a person gets that, I'm not talking about somebody you're raising up under the Lord's arm. I'm talking about somebody that's left God and left the church. Everybody in this place tonight, at some time or another in your life, you know somebody, you've got experience along somebody's life that's left God. A family's been torn, a home's been shattered. Are you listening to me? Every one of us have experienced that. Every one of us know what it's like to lose a loved one. Some ladies tonight know what it's like for that man to walk out of your life and never look back. Some of you men here, you know what it's like to be brokenhearted, to love somebody that don't love you. Amen. That's what he said. That's what's going on here. Now notice, if you will, look at verse number 6. He said, therefore, he said, I got the answer. Here's the answer now, listen. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then, watch this. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now. You know what he said? He said, you know what I think I'll do? I'm going to put restraints in her life. I'm going to put up a hedge of thorns about her, and she can only go so far, and brother, she'll see her wickedness and she'll come back to me. That's what God's trying to get Israel to do. God's pleading with Israel. God loves Israel. I don't mean to break your heart, but you're not His first love. Hello? God came to His own, and His own received Him not. God loved Israel, and God's not through with Israel. Amen. Watch this now. He loved her. He's wooing her. And the more He loves her, and the more He cares about her, and the more He runs after her, the more she runs away from Him. Listen to me, you got somebody in your church, preacher, and they're in rebellion, and they're living in sin. They know God. They know what it's like. They understand prayer. They know what it's like to sing in the choir and throw their hands up and praise God. And now they're away from God. I'm telling you, they're living a life of rebellion, and you're not going to bring them back by putting restraints on their life, Daddy. Are you listening to me? You're not going to bring that girl by restraining her. Restraint don't break rebellion. Hello? He said, I know what I'll do. I'll hedge her up. I'll put restraints on her. In other words, I'll only let her go so far. I'll just let her go out there, and I'll put a hedge up, and I'll stop her. That's what he's saying. I'm going to put restraints in his life. I'm going to put limitations on her. Are you listening? That's what he's saying here. Amen. It just means placing restraints on their freedoms. They can only go so far, and they're going to have a hedge. She'll become hindered for pursuing her sins. She'll be hindered in pursuing her lovers. Come on, he loved her. He wooed her. God said to this preacher, I want you to go out there and get a whore and marry her, and you know how I feel. That's what he did. The laws, everything he tried, nothing worked. But then the lamenting, he cried and wept. Now, he's tried now by putting a hedge of thorns about her. He's putting up restraints in her life. Listen, restraints are not keeping Jesus out. It's just keeping her from going any further. Amen? That's what we try to do. We try to put up restraints in their life. Isn't that right? We try to put up hedges. We try to put up limitations in their life. And hinder. You know what we do? We put up curfews for our children. Well, you got to be in by 10 o'clock. You can't do this. You can't go out with that crowd. Stay away from this crowd. Don't you go over there with them. You stay away from them. They'll hurt you. Hey, listen. It's all right if you're training them up in the ways of the Lord, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It'll work, amen. But restraints will not work on rebels. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? Restraint. You're not going to hedge them about. You're not. You know what you're going to do? Drive them further away. He said, I'm going to put restraints in her life. I'm going to put hedges in her. And when I do, here's what's going to happen. She's going to get right and come home. She'll say, oh, I got it better with my first. That's what she'll do. Look at verse number 8. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, I'm the one that took money down there and gave money to her lovers to take care of her. That's how much he loved her. That's how much he cared for. He said, I took corn down there. I gave them corn to give to her, to feed her, to clothe her, to take care. He gave it to her lovers, amen. And they offered it up to Baal. If you stay with me, I'm getting somewhere. He tried his best to put restraints on rebellious. But you can't put restraints on rebellious. Restraints will not. Listen to me. Look at me. It will not bring that one back home. Amen. Strengths ain't going to get that wife right with God. Strengths ain't going to make her husband come home and get right. Well, we just cut off his Jover time. We're just going to call the job. Tell on him so he'll lose his job. We're just going to put restraints on his life. Go put restraints on our children. Nothing wrong with restraining your children. But once they become rebels, you're wasting your time trying to put restraints on a rebel. You're making them worse. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you're going to believe it. I'm going to show it to you. Amen. You know what he did? He's got this idea, see? He's trying to figure out what God has done. God has left him to figure out how to get that harlot to come home. How am I going to make her love me again? Hello? And so he says, you know what I'll do? I'll put restraints on her life. And he puts restraints, and restraints didn't do the job. Amen? Restrain, corner them in, box them in. Just cut them off. Don't let them go in the world. But it's the world's already in them. Hello? You're not going to help them restraining them. That's not going to fix it. I'm talking about after they become rebels. Amen? You're not going to get that wife back by calling people and cutting her off and fixing her. You're not going to. Hey, listen, that act of aggression is going to lead to more aggression on her part and more rebellion in her life. He says, you know what I'll do? Therefore, I'm going to put a hedge about her. I'm going to apply restraints on her life. That didn't work. Look at verse 9. Therefore, in verse 9 he says, I will return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and I will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. Now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her myrrh to cease, for her feast days, her new moons and her Sabbaths and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees where she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. Well, we just said, I'm the one that gave them to her through her lovers. Look at what he says. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgot me, saith the Lord. Amen. He said, I'm going to put restraints on her. And then he realizes, oh, no, that ain't going to work. Then he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cause removal in her life. Restraints won't work. We'll try removal. I'm going to take away this and take away that. I'm going to take away her vines and take away her bread. I'm going to take away her wine. In other words, hey, you know what? And that's what we do today, amen. When one leaves, we love them. We want them back. We got to have them whole, but they ain't coming back, amen. Listen, not the way you're trying to do it. You know what we try to do? Now we're going to take stuff out of their life. I'm going to take away their television, take away their radio, take away. And you should have done that when he's a little baby, amen. And now they're rebels and you can't take it back. Amen. I'm going to fix them. I'm going to take away this. And I'm going to take away that. I'm going to fix this. And I'm going to hinder this. And I'm not going to let her have this. She can't do this. And I'm just going to take it all back. And can I just say tonight, removal won't work. Not when you're trying to get a rebel to come home. Not when you're trying to fix a cold heart. Not with somebody that's known God, loved God, and left God. Hello? I'm sorry, I know we're supposed to be preaching an encouraging message. But if I don't preach this, God will be mad at me. He said, therefore, I'm going to take away. I'm going to remove their blessings. I'm going to remove their privileges. I'm going to take away their toys. I'm maybe removing things. I'll bring them back to their self. Maybe if I just remove stuff out of their life. And we do the same thing. Some of you've got wayward children. And you think all I've got to do is, you know what? Some of them's left the farm, but they've never left home. Hello? And so, you know what you're going to do? I'm going to take away their joy. I'm going to take away their blessings. I'm going to take away their fruits. And you think, you know what? That's going to bring them. They'll kneel down. They'll get right. No, they won't. You're driving them further away. Can I show you tonight the only hope they got? You see, listen to me, folks. You know what that prodigal said when he came home? He said to his father, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Hello? His sin was against God. When you sin tonight, your sin is against God. Your sin's not against your mama, your daddy. Your sin's not against your husband. It's not against your wife. It's against God. Amen. You cannot get a ride with God by putting restraints and removing things from their life. Amen. It ain't going to work. You're not going to bring that child home. You're not going to bring that prodigal home. You're not going to break that wife and make her right with God by removing things. It ain't going to work. Not going to fix it. Amen. He said, I'm going to remove the stuff. That'll bring her home. Taking pleasure out of sin does not remove sin. Are you listening? Say, preacher, what in the world are we going to do? I'm glad you asked. Can I show you? You may not like it if I show you. Look at verse number 14. Therefore, that's the third therefore in the passage. And it's his third and final answer. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably with unto her. The first thing you got to do is get the right attitude. They're not sinning against you. Hello? You may be hurt by their sin, but their sin's not against you. Look at verse number 15. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Acre for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? God said the only thing that'll bring her home, the only thing that'll get that child right, the only thing that'll bring mama back or daddy back, the only thing is the Valley of Achor. You say, preacher, what in the world is the Valley of Achor? I'm glad you asked. It's only three times in your Bible. Joshua chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 65 and 10, and right there where we just read it. Three times. Now listen to me. I'm going to help you tonight. All three times. It's a reference to one thing. You know what that is? God said, you're not going to bring them back. They're not going to get right by restraints. You're not going to fix them by removing things from their life. You're not going to treat them like babies anymore. That's not going to work. God said, the only thing that they'll ever know is trouble. In Joshua chapter 7, it was the Valley of Achor where they stoned Achan and put him to death. That's all. He said, that's all. Hey, listen, they ain't coming home until they meet trouble. Hear me? God said, why do you think, he's talking about Israel. Why do you think he calls it a time of Jacob's trouble? It's Jacob's trouble, not Joe's trouble. They're going to meet Jacob's trouble. And when they meet the trouble, the judgment of God, God said they'll come home. They'll get right. Some of them, can I help you? Some of them's not coming home. They're going to perish in their trouble. Some of them may die in their trouble. But it's the only hope they got. Listen, the door of hope tonight for that wife that's walked out, or that husband that's gone, or that child that's going astray, the only door of hope in their life is that God would bring them trouble. I don't think you believe me. You hear what I'm saying tonight? That's the only thing. They didn't sin against you, they sinned against God. And God's got to bring them trouble. And if God brings them trouble, but listen to me. Can I help you a minute? But here's the problem. Here's where it gets messed up. You see, what they do is we get on our face. Mama gets on her face and she cries every night and every morning. Comes down to the altar every service and she says, God, I want you to get my girl in the home pen, Lord. Put her down there. God, bring her home. I need you to help. I need you to fix her life. And God said, hey, I'm trying to put her in the home pen and you keep running interference. Every time I try to bring trouble in his life, you try to bail him out. God tries to bring trouble. God wants your baby home. God wants your husband home. God wants your wife to get right and come home. And we pray and we pray and we pray and say, God, please bring them home. And God says, all right, stay out of the way. You will not let God do His work in their life. Even if it kills them. And it may. Some of them are going to perish. And some of them ain't coming back. Are you listening? Some of them is going to die in the world that they created. But they're not coming home. Not the way you're trying to do it. You pray and beg, Mom, I'm trying to help you. You've been coming down here week after week after week, begging God to bring that baby home, fix that baby's life, do something in that baby's heart. And every time, God tries to do something to put her down there in the hog pit. Mama, I'm in jail. I need you to come bail me out. Mama, they repossessed my car. Mama, they evicted me. I'm out of my house. I need some money to get a bus ticket home. Mama, help me. Mama, help me. Mama comes and rescues them out of the will of God. Amen. God's doing everything He can. Get that prodigal son down there at that hog pen. Boy, I've been trying. I've been pushing. And I'm going to get him there. If I can keep his stupid daddy out of the way. If I can keep his stinking mama from running down there every time he gets a little mud slung in his eye. Oh, God uses trouble. God brings trouble. God uses trouble to bring us back to Him. God's going to use trouble to bring Israel home, and Israel's coming home. Some of them going to perish, but some of them's coming home. A nation born in a day, amen. Why? Because of trouble. God's going to use trouble. Restraints don't work. Removal don't work. Are you listening? God said, but if I give them trouble, trouble will fix it. Trouble to take care of it. And here comes trouble, and there goes mama. And here comes trouble, and there goes the husband. Well, she can't. They ain't gonna make it. Here's grandma. Listen to me. Here's what we say. Well, I just don't want to see them grandbabies suffer. And so you go buy groceries for your youngins. Why don't you buy groceries, put them in your house, and bring the grandbabies home and feed them? Do something. Hey, but quit bailing your youngin' out of trouble because God's trying to get them. God's trying to answer your prayer and you're making it hard on Him. You're hindering everything He's trying to do. Trying to help you. It took me so long to learn this, brother. You know what? You know what I had to do? I preached a message about, I don't know, a year ago, close to a year ago, how to bring a rebel home. And I left, Brother Jim, I left that Sunday morning. I preached. We didn't have Sunday school. I had a series on the home. Had a revival meeting. You know, like you have 3-day meeting or 4-day. Well, I just did 3 services on Sunday morning. We started 9:45 and finished 1:45. 1:45, something like that. And I just preached 3 messages back to back. On the home, how to fix the home. And you know what? Got some help. God helped me. I had to leave that Sunday morning, Brother Charlie, and I had to drive to Columbia, South Carolina, and got up there late Sunday night to meet my boy just to tell him I loved him and I wanted to be his friend. I tried everything else. I tried restraints. I removed things. Did everything I know to do to try and get him right with me. The problem was he was out with God. Listen to me, Mama. You're trying to bring that baby home tonight. You ain't going to bring him. She ain't coming to get right with you. She sinned against heaven and just did it in your sight. God's trying to get her right with God. God's going to do it by trouble. That's what's going to bring her home. If she comes home, it's going to be by trouble. If you'll get your hands off of her life long enough to let God give her some. We had the last, whatever day Father's Day was, a couple weeks ago, Brother Charlie. And I was just finished camp meeting. My son came home for Father's Day. Was in service Sunday morning, Sunday night. And God let me preach him. And I guess first time he's been there in a long time. Now, I never forget. I did everything I could do, brother. I tried everything I could try to get him right. He wouldn't get right. Couldn't nothing fix him. Wasn't nothing going. Restraints wouldn't work. I removed everything from his life.
Every time he'd break down, he broke down his truck, blowed a motor in his truck. Daddy ran up there and swapped trucks with him. Gave him mine and towed his home. You say, why, preacher? Trying to bail him out. Trying to keep his head above water, and God was wanting him to sink. Last year I went up there and I said, son, I want to be your friend. I'm no longer going to be your daddy. I'm going to be your friend. And I was. And he called for help and I said, son, I can't help you. We're not going to give you nothing else. We're done. I'm telling you, he went through a year of trouble. And it piled up worse and worse. And Father's Day, Sunday night, he came over to the altar trembling. We had a special message there. Preacher preached on getting out of the hedge, breaking the hedge, and the serpent biting. Ecclesiastes. He said, Daddy, I'm tired of running. He said, Daddy, I need help. I need to get right with God. I just want to come home. Fell out on the altar and gave his heart back to God. Are you listening? I tried restraining him. Mama, you ain't going to get her back that way. You're not going to remove it from her life and get her home. It's not going to work. You hear me? You've got to let God deal with her. Hey, man, you sit here, you've been praying, you want your wife back? God saved me. Me and my wife was both lost. Some of you ladies heard her testimony. God saved me, and she didn't get saved when I got saved. And she used to persecute me. I'd get on my knees and pray, and she'd throw stuff at me. Cuss me while I was praying. Called my God a false God, and them false prophets, the preachers down at the church, and just a cult, all kinds of things. And I prayed harder. God, please save my wife. I prayed every day, God, please save my wife. And I begged God and pleaded with God, because I couldn't take no more. One night I was praying. I said, God, I want you to please save my wife. And God said, why don't you say what you really mean? I said, what are you talking about, Lord? He said, why don't you be honest? You're not honest. I said, God, I'm honest. I want you to save my wife. He said, no, you don't. You just want relief. Why do you want him back tonight? So you'll feel better? So things will work out for you? God showed me what I was like. And I finally had to pray and say, God, I'm willing to suffer whatever you want me to suffer if you'll save her. Wasn't long after that, she was saved. It's all about attitude, folks. God, listen, no matter how much you think of yourself or how much you like your God's going to do it His way. Amen. Just like the preacher said, somebody said, God's only got a plan A. He's just waiting on you to line up with His plan. Hello? How you going to get that youngin' home, Mama? How you going to get that prodigal back you've been praying for 10 years you've been praying, and 10 years you've been trying to bail him out of trouble? Why don't you give them to God? Why don't you let God give them some trouble they can't get out of? You wouldn't believe that's a hard thing to pastor people and give them that kind of advice. Lady came in the office one day. She said, my boy's in jail, preacher. She said, what am I going to do? How am I going to get him out? I said, don't get him out. Let him sit right there. Think about it. That's a hard thing to do. It's easy to tell somebody else to leave your youngin' in jail. Amen? But I don't know if I could do that if mine was in jail. Hello? But they got to have trouble. Listen, it's the only thing that's going to bring them home and get them right with God. He loved her. Love wouldn't bring her home. He wooed her and cared for her. Compassion wouldn't bring her home. The more he loved her, the more she left. He put restraints up. That wouldn't bring her home. put up curfews in her life, put up a hedge about, that wasn't going to bring her in. Removed things from her, took away her wine, all that did made her mad. Go after more lovers. But when he took his hands off of her, he said, God, put her in the valley of Achor. You can have her. God gave her trouble. It's going to take trouble. Did you stand? I don't know if you even made sense of the message. But maybe whoever it was for, maybe you got the message. Because you understand what I'm talking about. You got a need tonight. You got a friend in trouble. Leave him in trouble. You got a loved one you want to come back to God. You got a church member, pastor, you want to get them help. Hey, sometimes you might or not pay their power bill. Maybe you shouldn't go down there and take groceries to them when they cry. I had a family in my church and I had to do that. I had to cut them off. I said, that's enough. We're not helping you no more. You know what? They're no longer in church. Done with us. They were there long as we fed them. Some of you know who they are. It's going to take trouble.